So I'm going to read the Bible. We're reading from the book of Matthew. It's found on page 696 in the church Bibles, which should be somewhere near you in the chairs in front. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible."
I've called this talk, "The Man Who Had It All," but obviously I should have listened to Adele on the way and called it "The Man Who Could Have Had It All." So if you've got, these Bibles are sitting around, if you didn't have one near you, just, if somebody hasn't got one to look at, just pass one over, will you? We're on page 696, in case you haven't got a Bible, because it'll be worth following the story, if not least to know that I've nearly finished. Because we go from verses 16 to 26, and I will go in order, so you'll know it's nearly over when the time comes. It's Matthew chapter 19. Well, sports thinking, sports week, and of course, if you look at sport, you just think absolutely spoilt brat footballers, loaded, rude, and uncouth, right? Right. Now, if you think of cricket or rugby, you think a bit more classy, probably. I'm a footballer, by the way. You think a bit more classy, a bit more well-behaved. But whoever you ever met, he's not as nice as the bloke in this story. This bloke is the nicest bloke you've ever met, and he thought he had it all. But we'll see in the story tonight that he just was so wrong to think he had it all. So come on, the story will tell itself. Jump in with me. Here he is, verse 16 of Matthew 19. A man comes up to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Now, this is why he's a nice bloke. We know some things about him. We'll see when the story goes on that he's rich. We'll see, too, as the story goes on, that he's a young bloke. And here's a third quality. He's just so polite. A lot of people came up to Jesus and said, quite aggressively to him, really, "Prove yourself," effectively. "Prove yourself to us." This chap, look at his approach. "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" This boy is rich, he's young, he's very nice. Now, I've got one daughter who's not married yet, and she could marry this bloke. He's all right, this one. But look closely, he's rich, he's young, he's very nice, he's missing one thing. Look closely at verse 16, can you see it? He's not from Llanelli. What a shame, he could have had everything. Not quite everything, see? But here's his fatal mistake. And you know when you read the stories in the accounts of the life of Jesus, if you can pause over them and sort of take them in like this story, they are magnificent. As these stories are written, they're written to grab us right at the beginning, to go, "Look at me, look at me. Look at what I'm trying to say," says Jesus here. Matthew writes that the boy says, what good thing must I do to get to heaven? Deeply embedded in a human soul is the belief that if I try hard enough to be decent enough, I can do a deal with God. Anybody can do the deal if I do enough. And his fatal words are, I do. Now, I'll show you here that Jesus, that is all, just jumps out at you once you see it. Watch what Jesus does. He gives the boy three chances to see it's a stupid thing to say. But Jesus is magnificently gracious. And Mark's account of the life of Jesus has Jesus saying, that it says that Mark says about Jesus, that Jesus looked at this boy and loved him at one point in the story. Such compassion for him, when actually he's being very, very dim. And I know you sort of laugh a bit because you think, is he dim? Is he really dim? Thick as a post. But you know what? No thicker than me. Because every day I get up and I think, yeah, I'm all right. I can pull off today. Let me at it. No. Come on. I'm a decent bloke. I can make the world a better place today. It's all about, I'll do it. And I'm not talking now to say, well, somebody in here isn't a Christian, somebody is a Christian, somebody's not sure, we're thinking it through, someone's been a Christian 50 years. Here's the default human condition. I first singular person. I can't do it. I'm king of the world. I'm in charge of my universe. I. And God's great plan is to get inside the human soul and say, no, me first. Not you first. You always go you first. Me first is what God Almighty wants to do in the human soul. If you want to boil it down to something, he wants to turn you and me into the woman or man who sees that we are not king of the world tomorrow morning. We are not ruler of the universe. We're not going to make ourselves petty kings and queens of the world. But we're going to say, oh, what a relief. There's somebody bigger than me. And he's done it all. And I can't do it. And it's fantastic that he loves me. And the liberation of not being the big I is awesome. And it's the whole point of the good news of Jesus Christ. Away from me and onto him. And the sheer joyous liberation that it brings. Here's the story. Jesus gives him three chances. Three chances to see. He got it wrong. Here we go. Here's the first chance. There it is. Verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There's only one who is good. Oh, this is such a polite thing to do. This boy would have been a Jewish boy because of the context of the story where Jesus was living and where he was around. And this boy, Jesus, in the nicest possible way, would have said to him something like this, really, behind these words. Well, listen now, you've grown up in a Jewish tradition. You know, we spend our lives having to go to sacrifices in the temple, in history, and we have to kill animals so that their blood is washed, so that people like you can be clean before God. Don't you get this now? Nobody's good except God. So he might as well have said to him, if he was being a bit abrupt, he might have said, listen, boy, you think you're good, do you? No one's good but God, so it ain't you then, is it? But he's politer than that, you see. Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good, isn't there? He's so generous to the boy, you know. And I wonder this evening, I was driving a long way to come. So, you know, you're thinking about the content of this and you think, well, you can just give a talk because there's a talk, you're a guest, you're invited somewhere. You can give a talk or you can say to yourself, do I really believe it? Like, do I believe this thing on this piece of paper in front of me? And I don't know how you feel at this Sunday night at 7:15 now, just standing still, isn't it? Here we are. Bang. Who's good? Who is good? And the Bible shouts at us with arms out wide, God is good.
you're not.
And isn't that offensive? Does it make you jar straight away? Well, I know that. No. God is good. None of us is. So we deserve nothing. Zero. Nothing. So why would this amazing creator, I mean, we've got one sun, 9 planets whizzing round it now, and there's 100 billion stars like this in the universe. The God who made it all is good, I'm not, and he wants to reach for me. Better. He wants to live in me. Better. He wants to hang on to me forever, every time I screw it up, until he comes again into this world and says, come home, it's over, and I'll live forever. That is outrageous. Why would he do it? This bloke had to get this. God is good. You're not. If you live that tonight, if you go home tonight going, that's true, that, though it makes me a bit cross, liberation will come because of the work of Christ. Strike one. There's only one who is good. Boy, it's not you. Here's strike two. Oh, this is great. Look close if you've got a Bible in front of you. 10 commandments captured in the Old Testament, the big 10 of God's standard of who God is and what he made us to be. The first 4 are about how we treat God. You shall have no other gods before me. 2, don't make any graven images of me. 3, don't use my name in vain. The 6 that come after the first 4 are social commandments. If God is God, how should we treat each other? Very familiar ground for this young, rich Jewish boy who's full of himself without knowing it. So look at what Jesus says. See it there, 17. It's like he changes gear. Strike 2. I tell you what then, keep the commandments. Which ones? He says, oh, he's chuffed now. See, he's on real solid ground now. He knows the commandments. Boy, he's known them since he's a kid. Which ones? Let's have it then. What's this? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. 5, right? See them? 5. And there should be 6 social ones. Love your neighbor as yourself. But immediately he'd have known that that isn't the 6th social commandment or the 10th of all of them. It isn't. It's a summary of them. Love your neighbor as yourself isn't one of the 10. It's a summary of the way we should treat each other. What's Jesus left out? The boy must have sat there and gone, they say he's the greatest teacher who ever lived. He can't even remember the 10 commandments. Or maybe he thought to himself, he left one out. What's he left out? He left out. Do not covet. Don't be greedy. Don't be tight. You know, you use that, don't you? Tight. There was a boy in my street called, I got in trouble for it, to be fair. I was a boy. I lived in a street in Llanelli, and one day, a man came down our street, and I was about 6, and I was trying to be grown up, you know. I was kicking a ball against the wall. Mother was inside, and he walked past. He said, how are you, Graham? I said, how are you, Mr. Tight, today? Well, I mean, it was the old days. You were allowed to get a clout in those days. I know it's not right now. I know. I know, but I did feel that wedding ring just there. But my mother called me in about 10 minutes. She said, Bethy Nade? Sorry, my mother was speaking in Welsh to me. Bethy Nade, what are you doing? I said, Bethy Nade, what's the matter? She said, why did you call him Mr. Tight? I said, because you and Daddy call him Tom Tight. She goes, Tom Evans, man. I said, why are you calling Tom Tight then? And I shall never forget what she said. She said, because your father says he's so tight, he could peel an orange in his pocket with a boxing glove on. Tight. Isn't tight terrible? Terrible.
Oh, Jesus, amazing. How do you do? What have I got to do to get eternal life? I'm very interested in cutting a deal with you. I'm quite a rich man myself. I'm quite used to getting my way. I'm not the worst person in the world. I try my best. And I'm quite interested in getting to heaven. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? On the surface. Jesus says, oh, very nice to meet you. Why do you think you're good? Where do you get that idea from? The good thing. Well, I don't know. I am, aren't I? Well, see, God would say that none of us is good enough because I do. What shall I do? Nice to meet you, God. I'm king of my world. I'm in charge of the universe. Thanks very much. What shall I do now? I'd like to be quite religious. Any clues? Because I think I could make a really decent fist of it. If you give me a crack, I think you'll be a good... You'll be glad I joined your team. I'll be a decent addition to your group if you let me in. Ah, well, see, nobody's good enough. Oh. Look, I'll prove it to you. Keep the commandments. Which ones? Left out, do not covet. Now, strike three comes next, right? Look at it's in the story here. Now, what is the worst thing you could say to a tight bloke? I've never met a tight girl, I have to tell you. Only blokes. Perhaps it's because I'm most of the time with blokes, isn't it? But what is the worst thing you could say to somebody who always wants more? Never got enough. However nice he is, his heart, covetousness, is an incredible word in the Bible. It's more than tight or greedy. It's, I haven't got enough. Is that it? There's got to be more. Do you know that famous autobiography of Bob Geldof after Live Aid years and years ago? And it was reported, the book review was in The Guardian, I think it was. And Geldof is interviewed about his book and he calls it, is that it? That's what he calls the book, is that it? 20 years ago now, 30 years probably. And he's interviewed about the book. He said, why do you call it, is that it? He said, well, Live Aid was finished, the cameras had gone, all the artists had gone home, all the stewards, I thought nobody was left in Wembley Stadium, and the lights had gone, and there was just a few spotlights on, and I was on the stage, and one voice shouted from the far end, Bob, is that it? And he said, and I said to myself, that is not it. And the interviewer says, why isn't that it? He says, because if that's it, what shall I live for? How can I find satisfaction? He said, he beat his chest. How will I find satisfaction? I won't do it. I'll do it twice for impact, you know. How will I find satisfaction? How will I get purpose in life? How will I get meaning? I need more than this. I need to keep working. And he says, that's why I keep working and working and working. Because I must fill this terrible big hole inside me. This can't be it. There must be more and better. And now Jesus is on real homeland. Coming to know Christ isn't about negativity only. Oh, it is a negative. No one's good enough. We make ourselves the king of the universe. Behind my front door, I'm king. In my life, don't cross me. I might be polite, but I'll have you. I might be quiet, but I'll rage at you. I might be an extrovert and I'm a nice talker, but I'll stab you in the back with my tongue if you cross me. I'm king of the world, and the Lord Jesus comes along and says, stop it now, there's a better way. Admit that you're not king of the world, that you're not ruler, that you're not making up the moral standards of the universe. Admit that you can't keep them. Admit that if I tore your soul open tonight and we showed on X-ray screen all the things we've done today, we would be deeply embarrassed. Deeply embarrassed that we'd have to run from here. And Jesus very kindly says, I know all that. I know it all. And I know that you're never satisfied because you always want more. Well, if you will let go, you can have it all. Oh, he thought he had everything. He nearly had everything. But he could have had Christ. And then he really had it all. The enormous liberation of knowing Christ. And look how the story comes towards a conclusion. Oh, verse 20. Oh, he went for the bluff. All these I've kept, he said. What's missing? Oh, he's bluffed with God. He's gone for the bluff with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a muppet. No, seriously. But then look in the mirror, mister. Who else has gone for the bluff with God? So vain, isn't it? So vain. The worst thing you can say to a tight man, strike three. Jesus answered, 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Could you say anything worse to a tight man? Give it away, and you're in. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus is not saying, you can't rip this out of context, he's not saying, you've got to give everything you have away to be a Christian. It's not his point here. The New Testament talks in many ways about money and wealth and possessions. Here, he's making a very intimate point. He's saying, I know you're tight. I know you're never satisfied. I know you're driven to achieve and achieve and achieve without turning to me. I'm giving you a third strike here. I know you covet. Now stop it. And then you can have life. Stop being the center of the universe. Stop using your charm and your skills and your abilities to make yourself the king and to charm people and to get what you want. And don't try and do a deal with me. You can't do deals with me. Nobody does deals with me. I do deals with you. And he goes away sad. Do you see it? Because he had great wealth. 22. And Jesus didn't go like this. Look, it doesn't say in 23, come back, give me 15 grand for the church roof and I might half let you in. No, but it's a picture of Christianity, isn't it? Often. No. No, he's got a big I. Sometimes people spell sin S. Big I, N. Me in the center. Me loud, if you're loud. Me shrinking, if you're shrinking. But me. Jesus says, I know you, boy, he says to him. Well, the disciples can't believe it. Look at the story. See, I told you it'd be worth following because you can see we're nearly home. 23, Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God. That would have been very funny at the time. You didn't laugh tonight? Because there aren't camels in the street in Montfermeil Road and Albany Road and stuff, you know. Don't see camels. But if you saw camels like they did, camel, eye of a needle, ha ha. Joke, see? Joke. There, it was a joke. But Jesus told it, and they probably would have tittered then. Easier for a camel to go through a little needle like that than for a rich man. He's saying directly to the disciples about this boy. Self-sufficiency will stop you knowing Christ. And it'll stop you enjoying Christ tomorrow. Self-sufficiency. I. No, Christ. Not I. Got to give himself up to Christ. Look at the disciples. They can't believe it. 25. The disciples heard this. They were greatly astonished and said, who can be saved then? It's like the disciples have gone, he's a lovely bloke. He is a lovely bloke. He's asked to join the club. And you've blanked him. Look, he's come on and he said, I'll join. Let me in. I'm loaded and all. I can sort you out. And you've just gone, go. What are you doing? If he can't be a Christian, who can? And that's the $64,000 question. If he can't know God personally, who can? Because he's such a great bloke. And you see how we come full circle in the story now? Christianity cannot be defined as, tell me what to do and I'll have a crack at it. I'm willing to give it a go because I've got good standards and I'd like to have a crack at it. No, this is how the story ends, verse 26. Oh, imagine being there at this moment. One day, you know, you'll meet Jesus Christ, whether you believe in him or not. You will see him. And his searing eyes of love and judgment, perfect morality, perfect justice, all wrongs will be righted, all misdeeds will be exposed, all the ducking and diving and lying and cheating will out. And he'll look at us in the eye. And he will just look at us. And picture him now looking at this boy. Jesus looked at the disciples. The boy's walking away and he looks at them. He says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Contained therein is the heart of the greatest liberation known in the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, it is impossible for you and I to be accepted by the creator of the universe and your creator who knew you before the beginning of time. He knew all your joys and wars, all your fears tonight, all your expectations, all the highs and lows. He knew it all. He knows your makeup and your personality. And he knows above all things that you and I are self-centered, determined to be in charge of our universe tomorrow morning. He knows. And he says, I'm the king. There's not room for two kings. If you want to be king, walk away sad. No problem, but you will account for it one day, and I will meet you again. This young man will meet Christ again if he didn't turn to him in his lifetime. And he'll stand before Christ, and Christ will say, you were determined to be king. I shall now judge you. Away from me, says the New Testament. Away from me, you evildoer. There is only one other alternative according to the story of Jesus Christ. And it's this. That tonight, each one of us admits, holds a mirror into the soul. You wouldn't tell anyone else in this room, but you hold a mirror to your soul and you say, oh God, did I dare think I could do enough for you? When you saw what I did last month on that Thursday morning. When you saw the way I treated him 4 years ago. When you see the way I think about those people sometimes. I deserve punishment because I'm determined to run my own world and I screw it up so quickly and so easily. And it is a despairing thing. There is no good news without this terrible news being blatantly before my eyes. You've got to admit tonight that you deserve judgment and you can't do a deal based on your merits. Because believe it or not, Jesus Christ, who beats death, says it will happen. And here comes the glorious Calvary. God himself, knowing my soul and yours, leaves eternity, comes into the world, and never defends himself once in his life. They laugh at him, they cane him, they mock him, they beat him, they spear him, they kill him. And all he can do is say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing to me. And a boy on the cross next to him says, you are, aren't you? And he says, you'll be with me in paradise today. Deserve nothing. And God himself pays the price of me being king. Out of unbelievable love, the justice that he demands of us is met on that cross. And on this blinking Sunday night, in the middle of Cardiff, just for a minute, isn't it? For a minute now. Forget if you're embarrassed to be here. Or forget if you're really used to being here because you're a stalwart. Try for a minute. Put it all away. Jesus has revolutionaries all over the place. People who have found life. Because they stopped trying to be king. And they threw their weight on the one who was king. And said, I believe it. I believe it. And the moment that you throw your weight on him by turning from your own kingship, isn't this right now? He comes and he says, Aya. Aya, you? Aya, come on, let's go. Let's go, love, we're off. But isn't this the irony? You spend the rest of your life, 50 now, I know I look older, but I'm 50 now, I'm thinking, I'm getting worse. Do you ever think that? I think I'm getting worse the older I get, I am. I thought I'd get better. But you know what happens inside, don't you? This enormous love of Jesus Christ by his Spirit just pounds. Ba-doom, 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 and he keeps pointing out to you, not so good, huh? And you go, no, and he goes, but I'm still here. Not so good, eh, no, but I'm still here. And the years roll by, and he's still there. Isn't it? Sunday night, he's still here. He still lives in me. He's not going anywhere. He's going to hold on, my God, through all the nonsense. You'll never be good enough. I don't care if you've been a Christian 40 years. You're no better now than you were then. No merit. All Christ. It's all Christ. It's all Christ. He is your life. He is your strength. He is your hope. He is your life coach from the inside out by his Spirit. And it is unbelievably fantastic to stop on a Sunday night and think about it. So, if you know this is true tonight, you know, in the New Testament, they meet together to encourage one another. You worship all the time, on the field, off the field, in the changing room, at work, at home, in the kitchen. Worship is 24/7 according to the New Testament. All the time to know Christ is to worship. But when you meet together like this on a Sunday, it's for mutual encouragement. Encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Be encouraged tonight if you know Christ, won't you? This isn't a sermon for someone else, see? You know, it's a sermon for me. And I hope it's a sermon for you. I hope the songs and the music and the reading says to you, Christ is my King and my Savior and my Lord and my friend, and he never leave me. I don't care how many times you screw it up. If you're in Christ, he will never leave you. And the older you get, the greater the liberation it brings, right? And not to know him isn't to be some kind of outsider. Yeah, non-Christian. No. It's to acknowledge that we're all in the same boat here. And any boy or girl or man or woman who says tonight two things, I admit that I want to be king and Jesus has got to be king, or I'm under his judgment on the day when I meet him. And will believe that Christ died on that cross to pay the penalty and to shower his love into my soul forever, then tonight you can hit the pillow. Knowing Christ. There's no such thing as a religious type. There is no such thing as a Christian type in Cardiff tonight. There are just those who want to be king or those who will capitulate to Christ and accept his justice and love at Calvary. I do hope when you walk out the door or go to bed tonight. Well, I assume you'll go to bed if you walk out the door, but when you go home tonight. Christ. My Savior and Lord. And friend, what joy. What joy. Let me say a prayer for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Bible. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that we can hear the stories year after year after year of your marvelous coming into this world. The man who thought he had it all. Lord, help us not to walk away sad tonight, but to walk out of this building saying, you are all in all. And I've turned to you and trusted in you for the first time, for some of us, or for the 48,000th time for others of us. But we will trust in you, Lord Jesus, as we go into a new week. We thank you for your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Graham. I'm going to invite the music team to come up now.